This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
Welcome back. This is the Now News Panel on Now with Dave Brown. I'm Mike Ross, filling in for Dave. Michelle McQuigg is here from the Canadian Press. And Juwita Gupta, host of AMI Audio's The Pulse, is with us as well. Our second topic is about the demonstrations that have been happening outside hospitals across Canada in protest of COVID-19 vaccine mandates and public health measures. Juwita, what strikes you when you see who is protesting vaccine mandates and their reasons for doing so?
At the risk of stating the obvious, these protesters are clearly out of touch. They continue to protest loudly, vocally, even though, for the most part, public opinion is against them and science is against them. One of the things that's been interesting to see, because, and I see this quite, and I mean that in quite a literal sense, because these protesters, they go past my window like clockwork every Saturday afternoon en route to the hospitals. One of the things that it's been interesting to see, just anecdotally, is that their numbers have gotten smaller, and I suspect that the strategy to protest in front of hospitals has backfired. I think there's a lot of Canadians who might be vaccine hesitant, people who are on the fence, who are nonetheless appalled by the fact that they are standing there in front of a hospital, bothering patients, heckling healthcare workers. And I think they've lost a lot of ground in that respect. So really what it's done, I think, has alienated those who are vaccine hesitant from the hardcore anti-vaxxers as to why. Well, for one thing, historically, and I know this because I worked with our producer, Enrica Delanerol, on a vaccine miniseries way back when on The Pulse. One of the things to keep in mind is that there has been vaccine hesitancy and people who opposed to vaccines for as long as we've had vaccines. But more recently, and I don't think I need to belabor the issue, we're certainly dealing with more mistrust of government, more mistrust of authority. We're dealing with large numbers of people who are getting misinformation online, and they're going to be increasingly anti-fact, anti-science. And so that is a problem that is much harder to ferret out. But it's certainly a case where people have gone to obscure dark corners of the internet and gotten very radicalized. That's the upshot of it. And I think the people who are really bearing the brunt of this are patients and healthcare workers.
What about you, Michelle?
I strongly agree. And I think there's a lot of overlap between the demographics that we see out holding the signs in front of hospitals and staging these protests and those that we've been seeing following the Liberal leader around on his campaign tour. These are definitely a minority, but a particularly vocal one. And it's kind of remarkable. And I'm sure some would say very alarming to see how much of the spotlight they've been able to wrest from other people in recent weeks. But I agree with Joita's assessment of who they are, who they've been targeting, and how that strategy has really played out, because it has engendered a weird degree of unity, the kind of unity we're not used to seeing, as people speak out against what they've been doing and to try to refute their messaging and try to put a stop to this. And yet it has continued. There was a big round on Monday. That's what we were talking about right now. This is basically a re-up of what happened a couple of weeks ago. And we might continue to see more, especially as the proof of vax systems start to kick in across more provinces.
I think for me, this is sort of a bit of a continuation of a topic that I brought forward on a previous news panel, which was the Americanization of politics in Canada. And it just feels like this is Canadian Trumpism. That's what this has become. And I don't want to call it Bernierism, because I don't know if Maxime Bernier is going to be around long enough, post-pandemic, but that's a conversation for later. I just think that when I see these protests, and Michelle, I think you're right to point out, and Juwita, about these folks protesting at hospitals, also protesting against Justin Trudeau. Just feels like there's a lot of purple signs at these protests, and
it seems
like a very, very specific group of folks. It doesn't feel like it's a very wide swath of Canadians that are part of this group. It feels very targeted.
Kind of expanding on what Joita was saying, I suspect the group of people who share some of the sentiments underlying the protests might be a little bigger. But the actual step of protesting hospitals, yeah. I suspect, Joita is right, is a bridge too far, even for some of the people who might feel that way.
Let me ask you this, Joita. The impact of on the morale of healthcare workers and patients, certainly, has been evident. I mean, they've been very vocal in responding. But what about the rest of us? I'm wondering what kind of impact these protests have had on you.
I think that's a really interesting point. I mean, personally, I've not needed to go to a hospital, but certainly if I did, this would make me very anxious. As it is, under these COVID conditions, I think people are nervous about seeking treatment at a hospital. They are worried about getting sick with COVID-19. You throw the protests into the mix, and I think it's going to make a lot of people who are immune compromised or people who are looking after people who are immune compromised very nervous about going to the hospital if they have a test or a procedure scheduled. It's just adding a lot of stress and pressure on healthcare workers, as you've noted, who have had 18, 19 months of working really hard to try and keep the ship afloat. So there's a lot that can be said about it. The one thing I'll note about the protesters, just going back to my earlier point about their numbers growing smaller, the one thing that we have to be really aware of is that those who are now left are really the hardcore militant protesters, and they're not going to back down no matter what. And what worries me is an escalation. So not only will they now be standing there silently, you know, protesting public policy, I'm actually worried about this escalating and becoming like pushing for blockades or something. So the people who are left are going to dig their heels in, as it were.
Right. Who would possibly want to work in healthcare right now?
Yeah. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are leaving, even if they decided that they wanted to at some point. They're getting out. And it's not just the burnout. I think this really is contributing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or is a cherry on top of... It feels ungrateful. And that's mm-hmm. what I think a lot of people are trying to express. They're saying, back when there were no other options, when there were no vaccines, we did everything possible to try and keep things going. We were taxed beyond our limits. And now this? No thanks. And I... Who would want to? I don't have an answer.
Not me.
No idea.
Not me. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
Are there any arguments being presented by these protesters that you think are have any validity and will stick in the minds of Canadians and cause them to have real reflection moving forward?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's one of those.
I like the sound effect right off the top there. Yeah.
I mean, the argument that could stick, hypothetically, is the civil libertarian arguments about,
exactly.
Do I have to get a vaccine or am I going to lose my job now with the vaccine? So those are the arguments that might stick. But let's be honest. Let's, again, just do a bit of a reality check here. I think a lot of those arguments are going to get squashed because of the fourth wave, which is picking up steam in many parts of the country. We just talked about Alberta.
But let's be clear,
also,
though. Hang on just one second, though. Let's be clear. The government is not forcing anyone to get a vaccine. It feels like what these folks are really ticked off about is the vaccine passports and the inability. And I think this is important to really state clearly. They are ticked off at the temporary measures that are being brought forth, because 6 years from now, when this is long gone, you will not have to produce a vaccine passport to get into a restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. This is a temporary measure that is being brought forth. I don't think anyone really believes that this is something that is going to last beyond COVID. Now, it may. I can't predict the future, but my gut tells me this is something that is going to help us get past this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a certain degree, even for those who are civil libertarians, it's much ado about a temporary measure to try and get us past a pandemic.
What did you do about nothing?
Yeah, well, I think you latched on to the fear that's driving people who feel this way, and that it won't be a temporary measure. But what is the basis of that? Questionable. And Where are those arguments going to be sorted out if, in fact, they become necessary to sort out? Certainly not in front of hospitals. There's all kinds of other platforms and forums where these issues are being discussed already. And definitely, if you're looking for resolution, a hospital protest is not going to get it done. If we're looking at big-time libertarian questions like this, that's going to involve courts, constitutional experts, people who are probably not going to be joining you on the front steps of TGH.
Absolutely. Bang on. Juanita, last word to you.
Well, I mean, I think it's not really, this is not the conversation where we have a chat about vaccine passports, but I think you summed it up nicely, saying that it is just a temporary measure. And I think the key takeaway here is that as a strategy to try and raise the profile of the protests, it has certainly backfired to stand on the steps of a hospital and protest.
Thank you, Juanita, for bringing this topic to the panel. After the break, our final topic today. How are you feeling about the 2021 federal election campaign? Are you happy? Are you angry? Are you frustrated? We're going to discuss that next. This is the Now News Panel on AMI.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.